College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the woman and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we'll be joined by Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard as part of our Big Ten preseason preview. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your Big Ten related questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on Stitcher. You can find us there right now. And I want to let you know today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast being sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your dog to make you breakfast in bed? As nice as that sounds, that's probably never going to happen. But at least there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. Now that we've got you set for all your Geico needs, before we dive into the Big Ten, I want to give our State of the Union here at the top, as we do each and every week. It's a habit that I've looked forward to the last month or so. This is the latest deal that I can report on in terms of the start of college basketball. Now, the Division I Council is set to meet on Wednesday regarding a number of different topics in college basketball, the most pertinent one being the start of the 2021 college basketball season. Now, the council was planning on looking at a start date of November 25th, which is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, but the oversight committee that officially proposes a start date for college basketball had a call last Friday, and because of the improved testing models that we've seen all over college sports, most notably in the Pac-12 and the Big 12, there is a feeling out there that the season could potentially start a couple of days earlier. Now, the council still needs to sign off on the proposed date now of November 21st, but there is also a feeling that if you start earlier than the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, you may be able to accommodate certain non-conference tournaments of note, most notably the Maui Invitational, which obviously always is showcased the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of Thanksgiving week. So that's a big factor behind this. So improved testing has increased optimism among key decision makers. Look, I've been following the story, obviously, from soup to nuts. I'm at this point right now because we're looking at really splitting atoms when you talk about a couple of days here or there in terms of the start date. The bottom line is this. We are having college basketball, and we are having college basketball in the neighborhood of 10 weeks from now. So there's been a lot of questions, there's been a lot of speculation, but we're at the point right now where we're not just going to have a season, but I think given the fact that you're not going to see fans in attendance, in most cases, you could have a season right now that will be the most watched potentially as any in the history of the sport. And that transitions to the Big Ten. I'm looking at the Big Ten next season, and I'm seeing potentially one of the best conferences on paper, at least, that I've ever covered. The league was going to get 10 teams into the NCAA tournament, and the league entering this season compared to last, when it was going to have 10 teams in the NCAA tournament last March, is better at the bottom because of the improvements at Nebraska and the improvements of Northwestern. But I think it's important to remind people that just because the league is going to be better, that doesn't necessarily mean more NCAA tournament representation. And think about how loaded the ACC was from top to bottom in the 16-17 season. That ACC had a 13th place team in NC State that went on the road and beat Duke, and it had a 14th place team in Pitt that won a game against Virginia, who was a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament, and won another game against Florida State that was a 3 seed in the NCAA tournament. But we learned that year that when you have a league that deep, the bottom of the conference can eat the middle of the conference. Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, Michigan State are all consensus top 15 teams. But don't forget about Rutgers. Rutgers is a team that returns 7 of its top 8 scorers from last year's team that won 20 games. 6 of those 7 scorers are juniors and seniors, and they also add a top 50 freshman in 6'11 big man Cliff Amorui. Rutgers is for real. Rutgers, in my opinion, is being underappreciated nationally. And you could say the same in some ways about Wisconsin. Wisconsin is in position potentially to start 5 seniors next year, including 3 fifth-year seniors. That's unheard of today in college basketball. What is the ceiling for the Badgers in 2021? We'll find out when we check in with Greg Gard, the head coach of Wisconsin, coming up next here on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Before we talk to Wisconsin's Greg Gard, I want to tell you about our sponsor, DraftKings. It sure was nice seeing the teams back out on the gridiron over the weekend. Lucky for us, that was just week one. There is no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. Draft your lineup now and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, and catch means more with DraftKings. DraftKings. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching a game quite like having a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. DraftKings has paid out billions of dollars to winners since 2012, so they know a thing or two about cold hard cash. Download the DraftKings app now and use code COLLEGE. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the week 2 action. Enter code COLLEGE to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code COLLEGE only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Wisconsin shined down the stretch of last season. Badgers won the Big Ten regular season championship last year. They return a vast amount of experience entering this season. The head coach of Wisconsin is Greg Gard. He now joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And Greg, it's a good thing you have a veteran team when you're trying to operate in a pandemic. How would you describe trying to run a program over the last 6 months?
Unprecedented is probably the word I've used more than any other word, even with my team or obviously publicly with the media. Been unlike anything I think anybody's ever gone through, but you're right about a veteran team. I guess if they are going to have to balance this, having guys have been down this road before in terms of experience and preparation, having a bunch of guys that understand that and are mature and experienced definitely helps.
You know, Greg, it's such a different time now in college basketball, and you know, nobody is immune to, obviously, you know, their roster changing and so on and so forth. But you bring back a team that not only is going to bring back 5 seniors, but, you know, 3 fifth-year seniors. You've had experienced teams at Wisconsin, but how rare is it to have that level of experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always been our secret here, kind of our, well, I don't know if it's a secret. It's been a part of our formula of success and how we've been able to sustain it. You know, over the last 20 years, it's been get old, stay old. And you've seen a couple other programs kind of do similar things. Villanova, Jay has done similar stuff there, and Tony at Virginia, obviously having been here and worked with him. You know, that the formula he uses there is very similar in terms of just getting mature. You really win at a high level with older guys. And that's been, you know, our best teams obviously have been our oldest teams. And when we've struggled, like we did, you know, 3 years ago, it was a team full of freshmen and riddled by injuries. So there was definitely, you know, it gave that going through that year gave credence to how important experience and obviously staying healthy is.
Well, we saw, you know, that experience really shine for your team and your program down the stretch of last season. You know, it's hard to think back right now to last season as being anything other than incomplete, but I still have the image in my head of you hugging your staff at Assembly Hall when you clinched the Big Ten regular season title with a win late in the year at Indiana. I know you've been a part of staffs that have went to Final Fours and won NCAA tournament games at the buzzer, but where does that moment at Assembly Hall rank for you in your coaching career?
Well, it ranks right at the top, I would say, just because of what this group had gone through. I think more so than anything else. And we had won, obviously, a lot of championships over the years, been part of, you know, games that have clinched Final Four berths or clinched Big Ten titles. But we've always done those at home or at a neutral court. Mm-hmm. And so for this one to be able to happen on the road for the first time in the, you know, the 19 or years I've been here, that was unique, and also combined with what this group had gone through all the way back the previous May with Howard Moore and his family and the tragic car accident they were in. This group had seen more real life adversity than, and had been through more things and more trials, I guess, and obviously some tribulations along the way than any group I've ever been a part of. They had had to overcome more outside the court and outside the lines and been dealt more than any team I've ever been a part of. So having that type of celebration, having that type of moment, not only there on the court, but also in the locker room, best locker room celebration I've ever been a part of because of those things that had happened over the previous, you know, 7 or 8 months.
Now, you mentioned, obviously, the difficulty that your program went through when, you know, your assistant coach Howard Moore had the tragic car accident, you know, last year. I'm curious, when you have something like that hit you so close to home, how minuscule do things like a pandemic look like? And is it easier to deal with, obviously, the obstacles and the frustrations of not playing in an NCAA tournament when you have, you know, such a tragedy so close to you?
Yeah, it is. It definitely puts things in perspective. And we saw things happen to our team or to our program or, you know, within our circle even before the pandemic hit. That obviously, like I said, when you compare it to what happened last Memorial Day weekend, anything else, that it really, like I said, gives a great perspective and a proper perspective to the game and to the sport, and that there are other things that are more important in life. And obviously when we hit the pandemic, when I had talked to him on March 10th or 11th, whenever 12th, when the Big Ten tournament got canceled and then the NCAA tournament within a few hours after that got canceled, I told them then, I guess if we are going to end the season right now, we couldn't have picked a better way to finish it out, winning 8 in a row, 9 of the last 10, and walking off the last court you played on carrying a championship trophy. So we also talked about, you know, the other adversity. Canceling an NCAA tournament is a first world problem,
right?
You know, and that comparatively to, like I said, anytime we hit any type of adversity last year during the season, and obviously there at the end, with the season being canceled, you just laid that down side by side with what they saw back in May, June, and July, and then you're okay. You're like, okay, we're going to be okay. This isn't an event like what happened back in May and June.
Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Well, let's get to your team for a sec. 21-10 last year, but 16-5 with Micah Potter in the lineup, 5-5 without him. Aside from adding him in December, what changed with your basketball team from the second semester on?
Well, one thing people tend to forget, John, is that we lost an All-American in Ethan Happ the year before. So we were trying to figure out who we were. And part of that, you know, Micah, I know, gets a lot of credit for us going 16-5, and obviously he contributed a lot. But I also think the rest of the guys through that time used the first 10 games to kind of figure out who we were. And we had to figure out how to specifically operate offensively without Ethan and learn how to play, you know, with 5 shooters on the floor. That was uncharacteristic from the year before. So that was one thing that I think took time to adjust to who we were offensively. But as it showed, once we figured that out, we got much more consistent offensively. Obviously adding Mike Embo was a big part of that. You know, and we just got better. We figured we grew up a little bit. Team really took ownership as they went down the stretch, and the results, you know, showed themselves.
Now, you won 8 straight, Greg, to close the season. What specifically clicked during that stretch that allowed you to finish the season, as you referenced, winning a championship, but also playing as good a brand of basketball as anybody in the country?
Well, a real secret here, John. We shot it better. I know that everybody looks for what the secret sauce was. We shot 41% from three down the stretch. So that is specifically with a team that for the most part put 5 shooters on the floor at one time. That was a big part of you know, who we were and kind of what the vision was of who we could become. We, you know, shooting a lot of threes or using that as a weapon is one thing, but you got to make them in order for it to be a real weapon. And obviously down the stretch, we shot it much better, shot the line exceptionally well. I think we led the Big Ten in free throw percentage. We led the team Big Ten in fewest turnovers per game. We led the Big Ten in scoring defense. So those three things, we had defended pretty well for the most part all year, but offensively down the stretch, we kind of found our niche. And like I said, shooting it from three pretty well was a great equalizer and a great weapon for us as we finished out the year.
Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Well, you had referenced this earlier in our interview that you had, you know, been a part of teams that advanced in the NCAA tournament. How similar is the makeup of this squad to the ones you've been a part of that have been able to win games in the field of 68?
Well, experience, that's the one thing. And that was the one thing I wanted to see. And unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to see last year was how that experience and how our momentum was going to carry into the postseason, because we were really confident. We had a lot of different people helping us. We had different leading scorers every night. I think we went through during the 8-game stretch and had 5 or 6 different leading scorers. So I wanted to see how that was going to play out, but that's a big piece. You know, experience can, you get in some tight situations, you get some stressful situations. I think that, you know, the winner go home mentality, that experience of having been there and done that, been in those close possession games or, you know, one possession games, low possession games, high. I mean, they had seen so much. And I think that's one thing you can't emulate and you can't replace how valuable experience is. So that's the one thing that I think resonates or, you know, with the teams we've had that have made deep runs in the tournament, experience has always been a big factor.
Well, we've referenced your experience. We've referenced your veterans a bunch now. Out of those veterans, which returnee do you think makes the biggest jump?
Man, that's a great question because I've seen them in bits and pieces. I, you know, with our protocols here and how the pandemic has impacted the summer, I haven't seen them all together. We haven't played 5-on-5 since March 7th at Indiana. So I have not had them all in the gym at one time. But almost everybody, Aleem Ford has taken a big jump. I think Tyler Wall has taken a big jump. Two guys that play similar positions, kind of a hybrid forward spot. But, you know, Reavers, I think, has gotten better from a strength standpoint. Davison actually reconfigured his body a little bit and wanted to lean up and get a little lighter so he's more athletic, and he appears to have done that. But, like I said, they've all, from what I've seen, and, you know, 5 guys here, 6 guys there, 8 guys here that I've had in the gym at one time without having the whole group there, pretty much everybody, nobody's gone backwards. I know that. They've all taken at least a step forward, if not more than one step forward.
Well, it's interesting you brought up Davison, because to me, any great Wisconsin team always had a guy that was willing to do all the little things it took to be successful. I saw it with Josh Gosser. I saw it with Zach Showalter. Why is Davison cut from the same cloth?
Well, those are glue guys. You know, they may not lead you in any statistical category, but they're going to be the glue in the locker room. They're going to be the glue on practice, the practice court. They're going to be your emotional and vocal leader. And any, I think, good team that we've had, as you mentioned two guys that were really good at that, Zach and Josh. But you have that quarterback mentality that are willing to do almost anything and take charges, dive on the floor. If you need to have scoring, they'll score for you. If you need somebody defensively, they'll do that. But also they understand, the intangible components of what it takes for teams to be successful. And Brad understands that as well as anybody I've been around in terms of just the dynamics of the locker room, the leadership. He jumped into a leadership role as a true freshman, unlike any true freshman I've seen. And obviously we were young then and trying to find our way, after that group of, you know, Hayes and Koenig and Showalter graduated, 3 years ago. But Brad has assumed that leadership role from a vocal standpoint on and off the court, as well as any kid that I've coached in 30 years. So that, you can't put a, that doesn't always show up in a box score, but that is so vital to having success in your program. And he helps promote the culture that we want. And he's definitely been astronomical in terms of his influence on our culture in a positive way.
Well, and if you have that type of leader, and if you have that guy as well as so many other players who have been so seasoned in college basketball, it's going to be tough to have younger players going through college basketball for the first time in your rotation. But if there's going to be guys who you think can help you who weren't a part of Wisconsin's team last season, who are they?
Well, again, I haven't put everybody together, John, so I don't know how they, you know, how does a Ben Carlson go up one-on-one against Micah Potter and Nate Reavers? That would be one guy. How does Johnny Davis, you know, compete on the wing with Aleem Ford and Brad Davison and, you know, those guys? So Lauren Bowman in the backcourt as a point guard, you know, learning from Demetric Trice and those things. So there's three right off the bat that I think, you know, just watching them in the time that I have had them so far, I think are going to at least make a run at it. And that's not to say that the other guys can't. I mean, I've been really impressed with Stephen Crowell. I mean, he's further along than I thought he would be at this point in time. In 7 feet and really skilled and, you know, kind of brings a lot of the same skill sets we've seen a lot of our bigs over the past, you know, 15, 20 years. So, you know, and I've learned never to write off anybody or dedicate or rubber stamp somebody as a bona fide redshirt or automatic redshirt because of what the progress Nate Reavers made 3 years ago from October to December. So said until I can really get them all on the floor together and have them compete in a larger group setting, it's hard to tell. But the seven freshmen we do have, we have five on scholarship and two walk-ons. They do not look like freshmen, and they've come in and handled this as upside down as this pandemic has made everything in terms of their, you know, it's not normal as what they're going through as a college freshman. Summer was not normal. This fall has been anything but normal. They've handled it in a very mature way. Everything is virtual in terms of their classes. We can't have the whole team together. They have not had a real experience of what being a college freshman is like. So, but they've handled it well. They've been very mature about it and have gone about their work. And, you know, we had them for 5 weeks here in the summer, and they definitely made big jumps in those 5 weeks. So they fit. They all want to be here. They want to be here for the right reasons, and they got a chance to all be really good players.
Well, and you're going to need as many good players as you can have this year because, you know, Greg, I can say now I've been doing this a long time, and the Big Ten was going to get 10 teams in the NCAA tournament last year if we had a tournament in March, but the league is better at the bottom than it was last season. What are your thoughts just looking at things initially at playing 20 conference games in this type of a gauntlet?
And we're talking about maybe playing 26 in our league too if we go conference only. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be brutal. I mean, this league in the last 3 or 4 years has turned into depth-wise nothing like it's ever been, ever. And you know, I've been in this league for almost 20 years. Tom at Michigan has been here almost double or in the league double that, given his time as an assistant too. And he agrees. It's never had the depth where every single night you are in a heavyweight fight. And 10, 15 years ago, that wasn't the case. You could show up different places, and if you could fog up a mirror and had a pulse, you were going to win. So now it's every single night. You've got to bring your best. You've got to play hard. You've got to compete. Fans probably won't be a factor this year, but in terms of the depth, the other thing is you never know when you're going to have to deal with the virus during the year. So are you going to miss a guy or two for a 7-day stretch or a 14-day stretch? I mean, I think the flexibility, the ability to adapt, the ability to have some depth, it's all going to be put to the test this year, maybe unlike any other year, just because we have so many unknowns going into the season.
Well, and, you know, a big reason for that depth this year in terms of the conference, which is always deep, is because we've had so many players opt to return to school rather than go through the NBA draft process, and players that obviously could be, you know, All-Americans. If I asked you to be your college basketball analyst right now, how would you handicap the league based on just returning personnel and what people have coming in?
Well, we probably had more guys return to college that could have been in that NBA mix than any other league, and definitely in the Power Fives. So that, it just adds to the depth. I mean, Iowa bringing Garza back along with everybody else that returns, and Illinois getting both Coburn and Iasumu back. or DeSumo back. That's Michigan State got their guy back on the wing. So I think just you look at the depth that creates, that just adds fuel to the fire, so to speak. And we had two guys in Reavers and Potter that kind of sniffed around it, never put their name in it. But, you know, those are two others that just, like I said, you just bring back all that experience and all that talent across the league. It's going to be an unbelievable, when we get it up and get it going, it's going to be an unbelievable show to watch, especially if we're playing league only. If we happen to go to 26 games, a complete double round robin, and play everybody twice, it will be unbelievable in terms of the, I think, the TV value that's going to create, because if you have 26 games in this league, it's going to be an unbelievable gauntlet to have to go through.
Well, let's visit that for a second, Greg. You've referenced it a couple of times. As far as, you know, what you're anticipating from the conference getting ready to start the season, what are Big Ten coaches talking about right now in terms of, you know, moving forward and playing, obviously, league games only, or obviously trying to get non-conference inventory in?
Yeah, I kind of refer to, like, if you had a, like, when you were a kid, you had a bag full of toys, and you, like had every toy you could think of and pieces of puzzles and everything, you know, in one big bag. Just take that bag and dump it out on the table. Everything you have is in play. So whether that's conference only at 20 games, conference only at 24 games, 26 games, trying to pick off some marquee non-conference games, ACC Challenge, Gavitt Cup, what are the exempt events that still get in play? Do we play in a bubble? Do we not play in a bubble? I mean, do we pot up somewhere? I mean, everything that you've seen thrown out there is in play. So I think right now we're still learning. We're still biding time, so to speak. And we'll see, obviously, what you know, Dan's proposal, what the vote is on, or where we're going to start on Wednesday as that comes out with Gavitt's proposal of the NCAA to the council. We feel we're probably going to be delayed more than likely. But then what is going to be the, you know, what's going to be the minimum amount of games? What's going to be the maximum? And then how do you piece it all together? What does our league do? Do we go play non-conference games? Do we, you know, do we stick to conference only and play a bigger slate of that? And like I said, I think right now every piece, every option is on the table. There's nothing that's really been eliminated.
Well, like you said, whenever we do get up and running, it's going to be an unbelievable year in the Big Ten. And there's a team that I've been, you know, studying in terms of what they have coming back. And I'm curious to know your take on this. You know, Rutgers doesn't have the history of a Wisconsin, an Indiana, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State. But they've got 7 of 8 back from a 21 team, and 6 of those 7 are juniors and seniors. From a coach's perspective, when you think of Rutgers and what they have coming back, where do you position the Scarlet Knights in the Big Ten?
Right in the mix. I mean, Steve's done a terrific job there in a short time. And he started by convincing them and getting them to believe in how hard they had to play. And then as he's added talent to that mix, and now that talent has experience and they understand how hard they have to play and how hard they have to compete every single day, that, you know, they're as tough as out. Like we could go through the whole list. I mean, Northwestern's got almost everybody back. I mean, you can go up and down the list. We talked about Iowa. We talked about Illinois a little bit. Minnesota's got some transfers coming in that I think they're going to have impacts right away. Indiana may have the best player in the league in Trace Jackson Davis. So it's every, like I said, no matter where you show up, you better pack your A game, because if you don't, you might be going back home or going back to your hotel room in the bubble, not feeling too good about yourself. So, it's going to be great for fans to watch on TV, but it's going to be, obviously, for coaches, it's going to be a stressful situation. But, you know, that's why we signed up for this league and got it to where it is. It's as competitive, as deep as any league in the country.
Greg, you know, you've been a part of Wisconsin basketball for so long. You were part of, you know, the staff that went to the Final Four in 14 and 15. And, you know, when you took over as a head coach, you had a couple of teams, one obviously in 2016, and then, you know, another one a couple years later that lost to Florida at the buzzer. The one in 2016 had a game in the Sweet 16 against Notre Dame, and then obviously you didn't come out on top. I'm curious, you know, when you personally go through things like that and they're games that literally could have won either way. How often, you know, whether you're going for a walk or just, you know, taking a stroll around campus, do games like that and moments like that re-enter your mind?
And until you brought it up, I hadn't thought about those games in a while, because you move on, you know, and maybe they sit with you for a while in the off season, but then you're always preparing for next. Thanks for bringing up a couple bad memories there, John, but you move on because you've got to prepare for next, whether it's the next game, if you're still playing in the season. But also, you know, there's been games we've won where it come down, you know, we beat Xavier on a last second shot, out of bounds play. You know, Arizona misses a shot for us to go to the Final Four in 2014. So it's, you're going to be, if you're in it long enough, you're going to be on both sides of the table, and you appreciate the times when when you're able to make that shot or get a stop at the end, and understand that, there's going to be times, as much as you try to prevent it, there's going to be times when you're going to be on the wrong side, or the side you don't want to be on. So it sticks with you. I've always said, you know, and other coaches have told me this too, we lament and agonize over the losses about 10 times what we do enjoy the wins. So I've tried to even that out a little bit, even though I can't get it even in my short time here as the head coach. But you learn to move on quick, because you know there's going to be something coming next, whether it's a next game around the corner, or you got to prepare for what comes next for the upcoming season. So learn from it and quickly move on.
Well, final thing, obviously, to be back in that same position again, even though this is going to be an imperfect regular season, what are the biggest things you want to see the nucleus that, you know, you brought back from last year, and obviously your newcomers, improve on and do better than you did a year ago? What has to happen?
Well, I think just that because we've had such a unusual off season, you know, our chemistry and our togetherness has always been, you know, part of our structure, and to not have the new guys as much with the older guys. And that's not even just on the court time, it's even off the court time. And we've tried to, you know, follow social distancing guidelines and those type of things. So we haven't had as many team building activities. Mm-hmm. That ability to incorporate and infiltrate those new guys with the older guys rapidly, because when we do get the green light, there's not going to be a lot of adaptation time. You're going to have, you know, 5-6 weeks to practice, and then likely you're going to be able to ease your way from shallow water into deep water as through a non-conference season. And there's likely going to be, you know, jumping right into major games right away. So that ability to adapt and add those newcomers to us pretty instantaneously is going to be something I'm interested to watch happen. And obviously we've got to come out of the gates, you know, knowing that we're going to have meaningful and high level games right out of the gate. And probably all of them are going to be, if you play conference only, you got 26. There's no cupcakes in that. If you lined up 26 Big Ten games, there's no get well games. So having the ability to really come out of the gates fast and be able to finish games, I think we got better at that down the stretch last year. And that's one thing we've talked about here, even in the brief time we've had with them so far in the summer and early this fall, is the ability to finish games better than we did, you know, a year ago in the fall or early part of the season. So we got better as our maturity level grew as the season went on, but we've got to be able to do that because we're likely going to be in a lot of those, you know, very high level games right out of the gate.
Well, Greg, it's going to be a lot of fun to cover. Stay safe. Best of luck getting started. And as always, look forward to staying connected along the way.
Hey, sounds good. Thanks for having me on, John.
We'd like to thank Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard for joining us on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on Stitcher. You can find us us there right now. But before we get to our social media portion of the program, do you ever feel like you're always on? That between work, family, friends, and endless video chats, the expectation is to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset, a moment to relax and unwind, a moment of chill. And for me, that's when I reach for the one beer that's made to chill, Coors Light. Cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged, Coors Light is literally made to chill. Plus, it's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, perfect when I need a moment to unwind. And now Coors Light wants you to give away and take a break from the new reality of those endless video chats in 2020. Say goodbye to your video chat background and hello to that beautiful travel destination in real life, and actually chill. Five lucky winners will get trips to the beautiful destinations they've been dreaming about going for months. To enter a chance to win, visit CoorsLight.com/outside during September and upload a screenshot of yourself in your ideal video chat background. The prize package is valid through June 2022, so winners can plan their trip whenever they feel comfortable. For me, you know I have a background of a basketball court. Send me to the Final Four, baby. What do you use for your background? Would you want to go on a vacation to that spot? Maybe I should switch to a beach background. Maybe, maybe not. Enter for a chance to win a trip to the beautiful destination of your choice at CoorsLight.com/outside. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes begin on 8/27/20 and end on October 1st, 2020. Open only to the legal residents of the 50 U.S. states and D.C., 21 plus years of age. Travel must be to the destination indicated in the entry and must be completed by June 30th, 2022. For official rules, including how to enter, prize details, and restrictions, visit CoorsLight.com/outside. Void where prohibited. Message and data rates may apply. Now, let's get to our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Our first question comes from Cam Schaeffer. John, will Illinois increase their pace of play this year? Cam, it's a great question. I think with the additions of two freshmen, Adam Miller and Andre Curbelo, you could see Brad Underwood lean now towards a four-guard look. He did it at Stephen F. Austin. He's always been a fan of playing faster. I definitely think that. Our next question comes from Braden Tank, 33. And it's John, how do you think Rutgers will do this year? I think Rutgers is a top-tier team in the Big Ten. I think Rutgers is a team, because of what I talked about, their returning experience with Geo Baker, with Caleb McConnell, with Ron Harper Jr., with Miles Johnson, a team that should not only look to make the NCAA tournament, but a team that should expect to advance in the NCAA tournament. That's what I think of Rutgers entering next season. And the Big Ten preseason power rankings are brought to you this week by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. Now, the Big Ten preseason power rankings.
John's Big Ten power rankings.
I've got Iowa and Luka Garza at 1, Wisconsin at 2, Illinois 3, Michigan State, Rutgers, Ohio State 4, 5, 6, Indiana at 7, Michigan 8, Purdue at 9, Maryland at 10, a little bit of a sleeper this year, the Terps, but still dangerous, Penn State 11, Minnesota 12, Nebraska 13, Northwestern 14. The Big Ten preseason first team, I'm going with Geo Baker from Rutgers, Io DeSunmu from Illinois, Nate Reavers at Wisconsin, Trace Jackson Davis at Indiana was sensational last year as a freshman, potential All-American this year, and then obviously Luka Garza rounding out the first team. Luka Garza also my Big Ten preseason player of the year. 15 impact freshmen in no particular order. Got to go with Lauren Bowman at Wisconsin. Also Ben Carlson at Wisconsin. Mati Sissoko at Michigan State, as well as A.J. Hoggard. Cliff Amorui from Rutgers. Christian Lander at Indiana. Hunter Dickinson, Zeb Jackson, and Terrence Williams from Michigan. Adam Miller and Andre Curbelo from Illinois. Ethan Morton, Jaden Ivey, and Brandon Newman from Purdue. And Jamal Mashburn Jr. at Minnesota. 15 impact transfers, again, in no particular order. Joey Hauser at Michigan State by way of Marquette. Justice Suing at Ohio State, as well as Seth Towns and Abel Porter. Mike Smith at Michigan. Two at Illinois. Jacob Grandison from Holy Cross. Austin Hutcherson at Illinois by way of Michigan. Galen Smith at Maryland. Liam Robbins at Minnesota. Delano Banton, Kobe Webster, Teddy Allen, Lat Mayen, and Shamil Stevenson at Nebraska. Eight of Nebraska's 13 on-scholarship players right now are transfers. And Chase Audige at Northwestern. He is from William & Mary. Will start in the backcourt next to Boo Bowie. And a couple of breakout guys in no particular order in the Big Ten: Rocket Watts at Michigan State, Jerome Hunter at Indiana, E.J. Liddell at Ohio State, two from Maryland, Eric Ayala and Dante Scott, Seth Lundy and Miles Dredd at Penn State, Isaiah Innan at Minnesota, and then Pete Nance and Robbie Barron at Northwestern. I'd like to thank Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.